Revelation chapter 16, verses 17 through 21. 16 verses 17 through 21. This is the reading of God's word. Then the seventh angel poured out his bowl upon the air, and a loud voice came out of the temple from the throne, saying, "It is done." And there were flashes of lightning and sounds and peals of thunder. And there was a great earthquake, such as there had not been since man came to be upon the earth. So great an earthquake was it, and so mighty. The great city was split into three parts, and the cities of the nations fell. Babylon the Great was remembered before God to give her the cup of the wine of his fierce wrath. And every island fled away, and the mountains were not found. And huge hailstones, about 100 pounds each, came down from heaven upon men. And men blasphemed God because of the plague of the hail, because its plague was extremely severe. Amen. Please be seated. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. It is the only thing that tells us of what Jesus Christ has done and what he has accomplished for us. It is through the word we see Jesus Christ and what he has done, what he has accomplished. It is through your word we see our heavenly reality, our eternal reality, our salvation reality. And what we see, it brings so much joy to us. Oh, Father, we are so grateful that you have saved us from this filthy, sinful world. Let us hear your word and let our faith grow, and let us live our lives for your glory. Just like the first creation, the new creation is also through and by your word. You have made us new creation through your word, and you are renewing us evermore to make us more and more like your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. We thank you, God. Receive all the glory as we preach and hear your word. We thank you and we pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Finally, we come to the seventh bowl judgment of God. The last judgment. The final judgment. This is the end. Do you remember chapter 15, verse 1b, seven plagues, which are the last, because in them the wrath of God is finished. By crucifying Jesus Christ and by killing his church, the sins of this world has filled up. Now comes the final judgment of God. Without any holding back, the final judgment of God pours upon this sinful world. Verse 17, the seventh angel poured out his bowl upon the earth, and a loud voice came out of the temple from the throne saying, "It is done." So first thing that we see, the seventh bowl judgment of God, that bowl is poured out upon the heir. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 2 says of Satan, it says, the prince of the power of the air, of the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. So the air is the realm of Satan. Of course, God is in control, but God allows Satan for a time to have power over this sinful world. So the seventh bowl judgment of God is being poured out upon the realm of Satan, upon the air, the cosmic event. God's wrath is pouring on the entire universe. And we hear a loud voice, and that voice comes out of the temple from the throne. Obviously, it is God's voice, and God says, what? It is done. All that our Lord Jesus Christ has accomplished is now being completely and perfectly, visibly consummated. The sinful world is completely judged, and the people of God receive the new heaven and new earth. All is finally consummated visibly for all to see. If you go to chapter 21, verse 5 and 6, let me just read that to you. Chapter 21, verse 5 and 6. And he who sits on the throne said, behold, I am making all things new. And he said, write, for these words are faithful and true. Then he said to me, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give to the one who thirsts from the spring of the water of life without cost. Jesus Christ, our Lord, he says, I am making all things new. And he says, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega. That phrase, it is done, is the same phrase that we see here. We hear from God as the seventh plague is being poured out upon the entire universe. We hear God says, it is done. And now we know from chapter 21, it is done is referring to, I am making all things new. Yes, the old is passed away. The new has come. Do you remember in chapter 21, verse 1, this is what we read. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth passed away. It is done. Through and by his last judgment, the final judgment, the first heaven and the first earth is passing away. Verse 18. And there were flashes of lightning and sounds and peals of thunder. And there was great earthquake, such as there had not been since man came to be upon the earth. So great an earthquake was it, and so mighty. And if you go down to verse 21, the first half of that, and huge hailstones, about 100 pounds or one talent each, came down from heaven upon men. Now, you know, worldly people will read this and they will laugh at this, because 100-pound hailstone, that is unlikely, they say. We saw similar things before. Do you remember the seventh seal judgment? What happened when the seventh seal was broken? Chapter 8, verse 5, peals of thunder and sounds and flashes of lightning and earthquake. And do you remember seventh trumpet judgment? What happened when the seventh trumpet was blown? Chapter 11, verse 19, peals of thunder and sounds and flashes of lightning and earthquake and a great hailstorm. So, seventh seal judgment, we see peals of thunder and sounds and flashes of lightning and earthquake. But the seventh trumpet judgment, we see peals of thunder, sounds and flashes of lightning and earthquake and a great hailstorm. And here, seventh bowl judgment, we see peals of thunder and sounds and flashes of lightning and not just an earthquake, but great earthquake and huge hailstorms, 100 pounds each. So do you see it? The seventh seal judgment, seventh trumpet judgment, and seventh bowl judgment, there is this increase in degree of judgment. And we come to the end. Indeed, it is the end. The lightning and thunder and earthquake. We saw this even in the Old Testament. When do we see this earthquake and lightning and thunder? At the Mount Sinai, when God's people were gathered in front of Mount Sinai, God came to his people. And when we read Exodus 19, that when God came, there was lightning and thunder and earth. The whole mountain was shaken. Do you see it then? What is the significance of this lightning and thunder and earthquake and hailstorm and all this that we read? It's the coming of God. God is coming. It is the same thing here in our passage. It is the second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is coming. It is truly the happiest occasion for the believers, but for the non-believers, it is the most terrifying event, the last judgment of God. And we see this all the time throughout the redemptive history. When God comes, always two things happen. Judgment and salvation. Like Noah's flood. It's a judgment for this world, but it was salvation for Noah's family. And Jesus even says that my coming will be just like Noah's flood. He comes, yes, to gather his people, but also at the same time, he comes to judge the world. So, even as we see the judgment, the final judgment of God is being poured out to this world, we also see from the same event, the second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ to save his people from this world. The last judgment of God. You know, I really want you to think about this. Because it is coming, and I don't know when. Bible doesn't tell me when. It could be today. It could be, you know, after you die. I don't know. It could be like, God forbid, like 10,000 years from now. But we don't know. But if that day comes, what do you think matters? What really matters when that happens? What do you think? What matters is whether you are in Christ or not. That's what matters. Whether you believe Jesus Christ or not. Nothing else matters. It doesn't matter what kind of career you have, how successful you are in this world, what kind of college you go. It just doesn't matter. What do you think? What do you think it matters when that time comes? Here we see the great magnitude of God's judgment. Hear the language. Such as there had not been since man came to be upon the earth, so great an earthquake was it. So mighty. And the last verse says, plague was extremely severe. You know, we read verses 17 through 21, the first impression that you get, that it doesn't really sound like the great judgment of God. And I really believe that is intentional. You know, he could have described this final judgment in more detail. He could have went on and on, you know, pages after pages, but he didn't do that. God did not do that. He just kind of stayed what he wanted to stay. But if you read, your first impression is this great final judgment of God is not so bad. But it's a symbolical language, and I want you to be able to see beyond what you just read at the first glance. And I will get back to this later. And this last plague reminds us of seventh plague of Egypt. And you will read about it in Exodus 9, verses 18 through 19 and 24 through 25. Hailstorm came down, and many people and many livestock died. You know, this actually happened. You know, hailstorm, you know, big, and it will kill people, and people will laugh at what you read in the Bible. But even the seventh plague of Egypt was a type that was pointing to the real thing which we are looking at in the book of Revelation. This is how the world is going to end. But it's not written in detail. But by faith, you need to understand what these symbolical languages are really speaking of. Verses 19 and 20. The great city was split into three parts, and the cities of the nations fell. Babylon the Great was remembered before God to give her the cup of the wine of his fierce wrath. And every island fled away, and the mountains were not found. The Babylon the Great city, we will look at this from chapter 17. Chapter 17 and chapter 18 is all about the fall of this great Babylon. A symbol that refers to this world. This world that is driven by the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the boastful pride of life. That's the Babylon. That's how people live. Outside of Christ, what drives people is lust of the eye, is the lust of the flesh, and the boastful pride of life. Oh, they love to boast about what they have accomplished. Oh, yeah. That's what drives the world, the Babylon. And look at what happens to Babylon. It's split into three parts. The whole world and everything in it will be completely destroyed. All things, all secular, political, secular, economical, secular, religious, secular, social, secular, education, secular, knowledge, all will be done away with. What kind of secular knowledge that you think you could take to heaven? Computer knowledge? What, medical knowledge? What do you think? What of this world do you think that we will take it to heaven? At this final judgment, everything of this world is done away with. All that this world boasts, the boasting of humanism. Yes, you even have to take the class at college. Humanism. What is all about? Accomplishments of man. Oh, yeah. We're great. We're awesome. Yes, all that accomplishments will be completely destroyed. Brothers and sisters, I plead with you. You have to understand what the Bible is really saying to you. See, all those things that you might think important right now, something that is driving you right now as you live every day, that is so important to you right now. I want you to think, when this day comes, those things might not be that important. In fact, useless, waste. Why, as a pastor, why am I against your success in this world? I mean, am I just an evil person that I just hate you become successful in this world? Is that how you think? But if you live for that, if that is what drives you, it is bad for you. Because it's useless at the end. You know, that's why I love the picture how when man dies, you know, their hands just opens. You know, they have to let go of everything. I like that symbolism. You know, you cannot take anything in this world to the other world. We don't need anything of this world over there. What Jesus has accomplished, what he alone has accomplished, that's all we need and that's all we want. Anything man accomplishes, it's going to be trashed. See, worldly people will hate this kind of language. What do you mean? I spent all my life accomplishing that. It's the greatest invention the world has ever known. It will be trashed. Only the accomplishments of Jesus Christ will remain. And if you hate that, then Christianity is not for you. Because Christianity is all about Jesus Christ. And He alone receives all the glory. That's what our religion is all about. And we're so happy that that is so. But if you live, if your life is driven by worldly things and how you want to succeed in this world, if that's what motivates you, you're going to be so, you're going to feel so empty at the end because you just have wasted your whole life. Yes? If I say this out in the world, I know I'm talking to the wall, but I just pray that at least here, that some of you will truly listen. Well, I cannot force you. But at least believe this when I say, and this, God is my witness, it is true. I say these things because I care, because I love my brothers and sisters. And I don't want any of you to waste your life. Look at what happens to this world. Look at what God is telling us. The great city is split into three. Great city. Chapter 11, verse 8 says, which mystically called Sodom and Egypt, where also their Lord was crucified. So this Babylon, the great city, is in symbolically referring to Sodom and Egypt and the place where our Lord Jesus Christ has been crucified, which all points to this world, this sinful world. This Babylon, chapter 14, verse 8 says, and another angel, a second one, followed, saying, fallen, fallen is Babylon the great. She who has made all the nations drink of the wine of the passion of her immorality. Chapter 17, verse 2. With whom the kings of the earth committed acts of immorality, and those who dwell on the earth were made drunk with the wine of her immorality. I know it is expressed in sexual terms, but in the Bible, these sexual terms are referring to idolatry, not actual physical sexual stuff. Anything you love more than God, you are prostituting with that thing. That's the message of the Bible. This great Babylon, chapter 17, verse 5, the mother of harlots, of all, and of the abomination of the earth. That city, the whole sinful world, split into three parts, three, Trinity. The picture is the complete destruction. Babylon the Great was remembered before God. Chapter 18, verse 5, that remember by God, what does that mean? Chapter 18, verse 5. For her, Babylon, sins have piled up as high as heaven, and God has remembered her iniquities. Thus, the final judgment, the complete and perfect judgment of God comes upon this world. And this topic is taught in more detail, chapters 17 and 18. And it is so interesting because in chapter 17 and 18, especially chapter 18, we learn in more detail how this Babylon is destroyed. And we see the whole world just crying. They're so sorry to Let this world go. What about you? What if Jesus comes today and he destroys everything that you consider important? Are you going to be sorry? Are you? Or with the true people of God, are you going to rejoice? Verse 20, and every island fled away, and the mountains were not found. It is a simple expression of what will happen at the final judgment, but if you really think about it, what it really says, then you will realize that what is described is a great devastation. Every island fled away, every mountain were not anymore. What do you think that describes, you guys? You know, it is simply expressed. So you might not get the true meaning of what is God trying to tell you. But if every island flees away and every mountain is no more, what do you think it has to happen to result this? You have to see the great devastation that this final judgment brings to this world. Haggai chapter 2 verse 6, for thus says the Lord of hosts, once more in a little while, I'm going to shake the heavens and the earth, the sea also and the dry land. And the book of Hebrews speaks of the same thing. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. Verse 26. Chapter 12, verse 26. And his voice shook the earth. Then but now he has promised, saying, yet once more I will shake not only the earth, but also the heaven. He was referring to God's coming at the Mount Sinai. At that time, the whole mountain was shook. So he says, and his voice shook the earth then, but he promises that not only he's going to shake, like Old Testament time, but he will shake the whole thing, the whole universe. Verse 27, this expression, yet, once more, denotes the removing of those things which can be shaken as of created things, so that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Do you hear that? What does it mean that he's going to shake the earth and heaven? He shakes. Denotes the removing of those things which can be shaken as of created things. He shakes, and all the shakable things, created things, this world, the whole universe, will be removed. So that what is not shaken will remain. And what is not shaken is heaven. That's the only thing it will remain. Yes, we're reminded of sixth seal judgment. The whole universe and everything that is in it will all be completely gone. All that man have accomplished, all that man boast about, all that makes man arrogant, thinking that they are the center of history, all will be done away with. Even the things that were used for God will be completely destroyed. For example, some churches build a gigantic church building, and they use it for God. Even those things will be destroyed. Revelation chapter 20, verse 11. Then I saw a great white throne, and him who sat upon it, from whose presence earth and heaven fled away, and no place was found for them. See, it always just, it's just a brief expression. But if you really think, what has to happen to resolve this, you will see how serious this destruction really is. Chapter 21, verse 1, I already read to you. The first heaven and the first earth passed away. What do you think that really means? What do you think that would happen in this universe so that first heaven and first earth is gone? Only the accomplishments of our Lord Jesus Christ remains forever. Isaiah 65 verse 17, for behold, I create new heavens and new earth, and the former things will not be remembered or come to mind. You think when we go to heaven, you and I are going to sit down and talk about what happened in this world? Oh yeah, back then when we were on the earth. No. We're not even going to remember. Why would we want to remember life in this sinful world? Don't be deceived, brothers and sisters. I don't know. Maybe if I'm on my knees and preach, maybe you guys will help me better. All those things of this world that you think that will make your life valuable, it's a lie. Only thing that will make your life valuable is Jesus Christ. That's all. Well, let's go to 2 Peter chapter 3. Verse 10. But the day of the Lord, his second coming, will come like a thief, in which the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the elements will be destroyed with intense heat, and the earth and its works will be burned up. Since all these things are to be destroyed in this way, what sort of people ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be destroyed by burning and the elements will melt with intense heat. But according to his promise, we are looking for new heavens and a new earth in which righteous dwell. That is the question. If this is how it's going to be, then what sort of people ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness? If this is how everything's going to end, then how you must live your life? That is the question. Are you going to live for those, all those things that will be destroyed? Are they going to drive you, drive your life? Then you're going to lose out big time at the end. And whatever you do, if you choose that direction, whatever you do, don't say you never heard it. You heard it very clearly today. If your life is focused on the world and the things of the world, everything will be waste. But do those things for the glory of God. Of course. But when you do those things for the glory of God, that means as you do those things, you cannot ignore God. How can you say, I'm doing this for God when you ignore God and His Word? That's a lie. See, I'm not, you know, you students, study very hard. You heard it from me. Study very, very hard. You do it for God. But if you ignore studying God's Word while you are studying very hard, then you're not doing it for God. If you ignore taking care of church people, if you ignore and be lazy in taking care of loving one another and living that Christian life, really loving the Word so that every opportunity to learn His Word, if you ignore and if you be lazy in those things, I don't care how much you do well, you're not doing it for God. How can you do that if you're doing it for God? Do you understand what I'm saying? Because if you truly do it for God, you will live that godly life that He commands you to live. And in that life, you will pursue whatever goal that you have with all your might. But you gotta live that life. You cannot just pursue that and ignore every single thing. Or I should not say every single thing, because then you say, no, I didn't ignore every single thing. You have an excuse. Seriously, if you are studying very hard for God's glory, and if time comes to study the Bible, you will stop and study the Bible. Then you come back and study hard. But see, you cannot ignore that and studying hard and say you do that for God. You cannot do that. Because that is a lie. And if you search your heart, seriously search your heart, you know it's a lie. When God's people need help, you cannot say, you know, I have to do this for God, so I have to ignore that. Give me a break. That's just not going to fly. Because your main job is to know God. That's the first. Then everything else comes next. And you know God through the Word. If you be lazy in studying the gospel, I don't care what you do well, don't say you're doing it for God. Because your main job is to know God. Because at the end, your knowledge of God, that's the only thing that will remain. Every knowledge that you gain in your school is not needed. It's complete waste. Thank God you dumb people like me. Because we don't have to know how to add to enter heaven. You don't have to know how to use all those equipments and computers to enter heaven. But don't misunderstand. I'm not saying don't study. I'm not saying don't pursue your goals. No, do it for God. But when you do it for God, you're not going to ignore what God has commanded you. So if this is how everything's going to end, what sort of people ought you to be? That's the question that God asks you. As we have seen in verse 16, the whole sinful world will gather to attack the church. And when they thought that they have killed the church, at that very moment, Jesus will come back. He will judge the world and resurrect the church to live with that church forever. Just like the life of Jesus Christ. Remember, brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ. Simply said, the world will be destroyed. Chapter 20, verse 7 through 10. When the 1,000 years are completed, Satan will be released from his prison and will come out to deceive the nations which are in the four corners of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together for the war. The number of them is like the sand of the seashore. And they came up on the broad plain of the earth and surrounded the camp of the saints and the beloved city. And fire came down from heaven and devoured them. And the devil who deceived them was thrown into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are also, and they will be tormented day and night forever and ever. But, just like the last verse that we read in our passage, the world will not repent. Even in hell, they will not repent. There is no repentance in hell forever. If this is how everything will end, what kind of life you must live becomes very clear. You cannot live for this world and the things of this world. Do you remember 1 John chapter 2, verse 15 through 17? Do not love the world or anything in the world. If you love the world, then the love of the Father is not in you. The world is described as the lust of the eye, lust of the flesh, and the boastful pride of the life. Brothers and sisters, remember that there is a time difference between the promise and the fulfillment. There is a time difference in between being fulfilled spiritually and being fulfilled visibly. Meantime, we must live by faith. With faith that our Lord Jesus Christ gives, we must witness the reality of heaven, the reality of this sinful world completely judged by our God. We cannot and will not put our hope in this world. Endure with faith, brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ. Our life is centered on Jesus Christ and His kingdom. Endure with joy. Endure with joy, brothers and sisters. Jesus Christ is coming back. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you for your word. It is very clear to us why this world, the people of this world, hated you so much when you spoke. When you spoke, they wanted to kill you. It is very clear why that is so. Because your message says that everything that they hold dear, everything that drives them, the most precious thing to them, your message is that all those things will be destroyed. But Father, we know that you have given us something that is far better and greater. You have given us new world, new heavens, and new earth. More importantly, you have given us yourself. So we have you, God, and your kingdom, heaven, as our eternal inheritance. And Father, we are truly satisfied. We are content. We are content to lose everything in this world because you have given us yourself and your kingdom forever and ever. Oh, come, Father. Come. So that we may see you face to face, to live with you forever and ever. But we thank you that that life has already begun in Jesus Christ. And even as we live here on earth, even though we are persecuted and we go through sufferings, we have the life that belongs to heaven, life with Christ now and forever. We thank you, God, and we love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.